John chapter 4 this morning. That's the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John find that scripture. And we're going to be in a very familiar story today, the story of Jesus and his encounter with the woman at the well in Samaria, the Samaritan woman there at Jacob's well. And we'll be talking a little bit about that this morning. So find your place there and find verse number 13 and 14. That'll be our text, although we will look at other scriptures in the passage during the message this morning. And that's John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good book. And if you would join me on verse 14, that'll be good. We'll pray and enjoy a special, get right into the message today. John 4:13 says, Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water, talking about the water in that well, shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Thank you, dear Lord, for recording this story for us in your word. Thank you for preserving it all of these years. And Lord, it has life today. As we read it, it stirs our hearts. It still lives. I pray, oh God, that you'd make it live in somebody's heart this morning who needs that drink of everlasting thirst, that everlasting water. I pray, dear God, that you'll quench that thirst. I pray, Lord, that your spirit will bless both song and singer and the message to follow. And thank you so much for the privilege to have these moments in your word. Make us hungry for it. I pray in Christ's name and amen. Thank you, BC. Speak to you this morning on Jesus, the source of living water, a drink from a different fountain. Look at verse 13. Jesus talking about the well, the physical well that he was sitting beside when this woman came. Whosoever drinketh of this water, that's that physical water, H2O. All right? He said, shall thirst again. And then verse 14, he's contrasting a different kind of water here. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him. There's water in this well, and then there's water in me. There's something satisfying to your physical thirst in the bottom of this well, but there is something satisfying to your spiritual thirst in me. And when you get confused and try to satisfy that which you're thirsty for spiritually with what physically that can provide, you're going to be in a vain search. And that's what he's talking about here. Jesus, the source of living water. Dear Father, bless us today as we get into your book. I pray that you'll please help our minds to be clear and concentrate for a little bit. The most important thing, dear Holy Spirit, is for you to come in this service and have liberty to speak through me and to all of us. And I just pray that our attention will be drawn to your word. Lord, be fascinated by the story. And even though we may know it, be captivated again by its greatness, its truth. Lord, that's what we preach this morning. We preach for the truth's sake. Preach for your sake, dear Jesus, asking you to bless now. Meet needs. I ask it in the Lord's name, in the name of Jesus, and amen. Water is crucial to man's existence. In modern day America, we don't think much about water supply. You know, there seems to be plenty. It may get a little dry during a season of no rain. There may be a watering ban for a few days, maybe extended into a few weeks. My folks were used to that down in Georgia, especially the last, I don't know, several years. I remember driving by Lake Altoona and seeing how far down the water level was in Lake Altoona there, north of Atlanta. And I can remember how there would be a watering ban. And if your last name was A through M, you know, you could water Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. If your last name was N through Z, you could water Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. There might be a ban on washing cars or watering the grass. But then a rain would come, a season of rain, and that scare would be over. You know, by and large, our country enjoys a good supply of water. If you've done much reading about America's history, America's founding, when this country was being founded, especially out west, I'm talking about in the pioneering days, the pioneers always looked for water before they settled on a homestead. They had to be close to water. It's their lifeblood. Okay? They'd stand and look out over a vast open plain, and you know what they'd look for? Miles and miles. You ever traveled and just thought, what must this have looked like back in 1700? What must this have looked like back in 1800? And they'd stand and look over those vast plains, and they would look for that little thin line of trees snaking its way through a depression in the ground. And that little line of trees usually was river, a water. And that's where they would head to create their homestead. They would even use their animals to locate water. The scent of water being picked up by an animal, in some cases far easier than a human. And they'd follow their animals to the location where they might find water. Men would fight over the rights to a water supply. People died over the rights to a water supply. Now, that's how vital water is to man's existence. You see, water is necessary to sustain physical life. Physical life. Now, it is not surprising then that the Bible uses water to teach us about God's salvation, because like H2O is necessary for man's physical existence, salvation is vital for man's spiritual existence. Not only in eternity, but on this earth as well. In fact, Jesus said that salvation supplies an endless well of satisfaction. He said in verse number 14, the water that I shall give him shall never thirst if he drinks of that water, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him. That's different than the water that was in the well. That's different than the water that was flowing in the Mississippi River or the Missouri River or any of the great or smaller rivers of this country. That water's not in us. Jesus said, as much as you need water for physical existence, you need the water of salvation. You need that in you. And if you will take a drink of the water that Jesus can give, you'll have in you a well of water, a fountain springing up that never will run dry. Now, Jesus met a woman by Jacob's well, and he introduced her to eternal salvation. I'm talking about the same, which he said will forever satisfy a thirsty soul. Now this woman came to the well to draw some water for her and her people at home. And she left with a fountain of salvation in her soul. I want to tell you something, friends. She left with something far different than what she came for. Now, I can remember that night 31 and a half years ago when I went to church for just another service because I had to. But when I left that evening, I left with something I didn't come with. I left with a fountain of salvation in my soul that evening. I received a fountain of eternal salvation that has not failed to satisfy my soul since the day I took that drink. You know, I feel sorry. I feel badly and feel sorry for some of my old friends. I haven't gone back home for any length of period of time at all since I've been saved. Just long enough to visit the folks for a little while and then come back up north. And I feel badly for some of my old friends because you know what? I know that they are still drinking from the fountains of this world and they are still not satisfied. They search and they search and they search for that one drink that will quench their thirst once and for all. But they're still searching and still searching, still searching. They are searching for a drink from the wrong fountain. Searching for a drink from the wrong fountain. Now, you might be searching for a drink of water this morning that quenches your thirst. You may not even be aware of it. I'm not talking about physical water. I'm talking about the water of salvation. And this lady wasn't aware of it. When she came to the well, I don't think she was aware whatsoever of what her true need was. I want to tell you the story this morning. I want to divide it into three parts and give it to you. Even though you may know it, I hope that you'll listen. And if you're unfamiliar with it, I hope that you'll listen carefully. Number one, I want you to see that Jesus had to get her attention on her spiritual need. He had to get her attention on her spiritual need. Jesus met this woman at Jacob's well. And when she came, her thoughts were not on her spiritual need. Look at verse number 7. Look at what her thoughts were on. Verse number 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. That's what she came for. She came to dip a bucket down into that well and draw it up full of water. She came to draw water. Look at verse number 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman still doesn't get it. Look at verse 11. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. You don't have a bucket. You don't have a container. You don't have anything to get water with out of this well. Look at what he said. She said, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? What are you talking about? She said, I understand what you're talking about. Yeah, you don't have a bucket, you don't have a gourd, you don't have a pail, you don't have anything to draw any. How are you going to give anybody a drink when you don't have anything to draw water with yourself? What's her mind on, folks? Her mind is on water. Her mind is on the water in that well. That's what she's thinking about. Look at verse number 15. After Jesus told her about that water that will quench your thirst forever, the woman saith unto him, this is so interesting, sir, give me this water that I thirst not. You say, boy, she's really being serious now. I don't think so. I think she's being facetious. Because look what she says next. That I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She said, sir, I don't know what kind of water you're talking about, but if it's the kind of water that quenches your thirst forever, I hope you will give me some because I'll never have to come back here again. My life would be a whole lot easier. My life would be a whole less complicated. Coming to this water, coming to this well every day at noon is work. I have to bring these buckets or bucket. I have to drop it down in the well. I have to draw it up and I have to tote it back to the house. And I have to do that day after day after day after day. Anything you can give me, sir, to make my life better. Anything you can give me to make my life easier. Anything you can give me to make my life more prosperous, I sure want it. So give me that water. That's exactly what she's saying. And by the way, this is what a lot of people are looking for in life. They're looking for anything that might make my life a little better. anything that might make life a little easier, anything that might make life a little more prosperous. Sure, I want my life to be more successful. I want my life to be more fun. Anything I can find to make it easier, better, more fun, more successful, more prosperous. Anything I can get my hand on, a little more of this, a little more of that, a little different this, a little different that, a little bigger this, a little bigger that. Anything I can get my hand on to make my life easier, I want it. That's what a lot of people are looking for. That's what they're looking for in life. Now, folks, let me tell you something. That wasn't her need. Her need wasn't to have her social and physical situations improved. Her need was not to improve her circumstances. Her need was not to have more money. Her need was not to have greater prosperity. Her need was not to have improved health. That's what she wanted. You know what she wanted to do? She wanted to prove everything on the outside. By the way, that's what the politician's answer is. So many politicians in Springfield and D.C. and every capital in the United States of America, of every state, their philosophy is, if we can just improve man's environment, we can improve man. We can just create this nice little place and put man in it, he'll be fine. We need to build man a nicer house and put more money in his bank and put more food on his table and put more clothes on his back and get more education in his head and make this available and make that available and more of this and more of that and improve the conditions all around man. And if we'll just improve the conditions around man, we'll improve man. Flawed philosophy. You say, well, how is that flawed? What is your answer to that kind of flawed philosophy? How can you prove that's a flawed philosophy? It's very simple. I can go all the way back to the beginning of creation, where Adam had everything perfect. He lived in a perfect... You couldn't ask for anything more in that time. You couldn't ask for anything better. You couldn't ask for anything bigger. You couldn't ask for anything more prosperous. And with a perfect environment all around him, Adam still sinned against God. I'll tell you something, friend. Man's need. And I say man, I mean mankind. I mean man, I mean woman, I mean teenager, I mean college student, I mean boy, I mean girl. Man's need is not something improved externally. And that's what she thought. And that's what she wanted. And that's what she had her mind on. That's what she thought she needed. Sir, if you can make my life easier. Sir, if you can make my life better. Sir, if you can give me more of this. Sir, if you can give me more of that. Anything you can give me to make my life better is what I want. That's what she thought she needed. That's not what she needed. So Jesus had to get her mind on what she needed. You know how he did that? Look at verse number 16. Look at what he said to her. When she said, yes, give me this water so I won't have to come back here and work again. Look what Jesus said in verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. Now, from the outside looking in, that's a pretty strange statement, isn't it? Do what? Go call your husband and come hither. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. That statement hit her like a lightning bolt out of the blue. Because she didn't have a husband. She had a man. But she didn't have a husband. And she tried to cover it up real quickly. Maybe if you speculated a little bit this morning, you could see her cheeks blush a little bit. But she maintained her composure and she maintained control of herself. And she answered in verse number 17. She said, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Well, she was half right. And Jesus said to her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast, you're living with, is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. And I will tell you something, friend. All of a sudden here, this woman realizes this is not a normal conversation. This man was a complete stranger when he asked me for a drink of water out of this well a few minutes ago. And now he has outlined for me the past several years of my life. I'm telling you, her heart has to be shaking inside of her. And you know what I believe she immediately realizes? I believe she's brought face to face with a stark reality. I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty. And I have been thirsty. For how many years now have I been thirsty? I have jumped from man to man. I have jumped from fountain to fountain to fountain to fountain to drink and to find satisfaction. And I have not found it. And come to think of it, I am still thirsty. You see what he did? He drew her attention to her real need. Now, folks, listen, people all over the world are in her same condition. Listen to me this morning. Their search for something to quench their thirst, the thirst in their soul, may not lead them to adultery like this woman. But I don't care what it is, their search is vain and empty nonetheless. Jumping from this to that, from that to this, and back again, and back again, all in an effort to satisfy the longing in the soul. That's exactly what I was doing 32, 33, 34, 35 years ago. That's what many of you were doing some years ago before you got saved. We were jumping from this to that and that to this, back and forth to everything the world had to offer, trying to find a drink of something that would satisfy the longing in our soul. If you're honest, you have to say amen to that. You know that's true. Searching everywhere. We had no idea that our need was spiritual. What did we think? We thought a little better this, a little better that, a little more fun, a little bigger party, a little later hour, a little fancier car, a little more pocket money, a little bit of this, a little bit of that would finally provide the satisfaction we were searching for. We didn't know our need was spiritual. But thank God for the day that He drew our attention to what our real need was. Our need wasn't physical. We didn't need another drink of what the world had to offer. We needed a drink of something entirely different. We needed a drink of something that would satisfy the thirsting in our soul. Thank God for whatever He used to draw our attention to our spiritual need. With this woman, Jesus just laid it out with her. He said, "You're right, lady. You're partially right. You're living with a man right now you're not married to, and you've had five other men that you've not been married to, and you don't have a husband." And there it was. She saw her need. I thank God for Mike Hagee. I thank God for that day at the boys' ranch that I got in trouble. I thank God for that. At the time, I didn't realize, I didn't have enough sense to be thankful for it. But I thank God for the day that He corrected me and whooped me. And boy, back in those days, they just didn't understand this thing about child abuse and all this stuff. And man, I tell you, He bent me over. He took a 1x4 plank and He worked me over with that thing. I was 18 years of age. 17 to 18 years, he just whooped me good. I mean bruises. Amen. Yeah. And I know this much, when I got up and sat on that couch and he dismissed everybody that was in that room, and he crouched down in front of me like this, and I was sitting on the couch, and he looked up into my eyes and he said, "Terry," he said, "I'll tell you something." He said, "I'm not here to try to help you get rid of a few bad habits in your life. I'm here to hopefully introduce you to someone who will make your life different." And you know what, folks? For the first time in my life, my eyes were open to what my real need was. I didn't need another party. I didn't need another friend. I didn't need another this. I didn't need another hour. I didn't need another anything. I needed something that I'd never had before. I tried it all and everything had been vain. Everything had been empty. And at that moment, my attention was drawn to the need that was in my soul. Maybe you have been thinking that a little more of this or a little more of that or a little better this or a little better that or a little bigger this or a little bigger that would improve would be the answer to what you're looking for. But friend, that's not your need. This morning, your need is not something external. Your need is something internal. That's what this lady's need was. That's what my need was. That's what your need is. Jesus had to draw. And by the way, we can't get folks to stop long enough to listen and know what their need is.
Right.
You know, it's the hardest thing about introducing people to Jesus Christ. It's getting them to stop and think and ponder and realize, I have an internal need. I have an internal need. I have a need far greater than a bigger house, a more hefty bank account, a nicer suit, a faster car, more of this. My need is internal. And that's what Jesus did here. When he met this woman, he had to get her attention off of the physical onto the spiritual. And he did that by making her aware of her internal need. Number two, I want to show you something else. She immediately turned to religion to salve her conscience. Look at verse number 19. She immediately, I mean, buddy, she is in trouble. I mean, this man has just identified her past. And so she says to him, it tickles me, in verse 19, the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Well, amen. Good job, amen. Huh? It doesn't take a rocket science to figure that out, huh? I perceive there's something different about you that I don't know. And then she turns real religious on Jesus. Look at verse number 20. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Oh, she got real religious on him. So, you know, years and years ago, I've come from a long line of churchgoers. Our family has been members of a church for a long, long time. In fact, our fathers used to worship right here. Right here on this mountain is where our fathers went to church. Yes, sir. This right here, right here. Oh, she turned real. And isn't that how people react sometimes? Huh? You get their attention on their spiritual need, and immediately they run to religion. You know, sometimes people say, you know, they get to thinking about, boy, I need something, and so, hey, let's go to church. Let's find a good church. We need a little religion. Let's sing a few songs and you know, pray a few prayers and drop a few dollars in the plate and listen to a few sermons. Let's go to the church that Grandpa went to. A little religion won't hurt us. Let's get a little religion and get a little religious and get rid of this uneasy, uncomfortable guilt. By the way, it's exactly what happened after 9/11.
Right.
The first Sunday after 9/11, I looked out and I said, who are they? And when I went to visit them on Saturday, oh, we're members of Faith Baptist. Oh, is that right? That was 2001. I've been there 11 years. I've never seen them. Oh, yeah, we're members. We've been, oh, yeah, our father, mother. I'm not kidding. Ray had to work today. He was with me. I'm not embellishing that story. People got real religious after those towers came crashing down. Because that created a lot of uneasiness in a lot of people. And it should have, shouldn't it? That's one of the things God used to draw our attention to our real need. The biggest, the best, the most invincible, the symbol of financial world dominion. All right, say amen, sure. Shook everybody up. What did everybody do? The churches were full. Let's sing a few songs and Amazing Grace and God Bless America. Here we go, pass the plate. I've been needing to make up a little bit of, you know. Let's get real religious. Hey, friend, if you didn't think that, if you didn't see that happen, you're blind. Like Brother Brown used to say, blind as a bat backing up. Amen. That's blind. That's always been man's answer. Run to religion. Run to religion. And I want to tell you something, friend. Religion is another one of those vain, empty fountains. If all you do is drink of religion, you'll still thirst. Jesus said there's going to be people who stand before Him someday, very religious. And Lord, look at the church I went to, and look at the money I put in the plate, and look at when we sang the songs and even passed out cards. And Lord, and He'll say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Religion's never helped you. Nicodemus was one of the most devoutly religious men of his day.
Yeah.
And he came to Jesus thirsty. He said, Nicodemus, there's something wrong, sir. All your religion and all your religious education is not going to ever meet your true need. What's my true need? You need to be born again. You need to drink of the fountain that's in Jesus Christ. That's your need. Please tell me. I want to tell you something, folks. Religion, no, no. Do you know that the Muslims are killing people, beheading folks in the name of religion? Huh? You know, during the Dark Ages, people died by the thousands in the name of religion. Religion is not the answer. She tried to get real religious on Jesus. And, oh, yes, sir, we've been members of a church. My family's been in church a long, long time. In fact, went to church right here on this mountain, Lord. Number three, I want to show you this. Jesus introduced Himself as the promised Savior who gives salvation. Amen. Look at verse number 25. We'll skip some verses for sake of time. The woman saith unto Him, I know that Messiah cometh. Messiah, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. Well, hey, by the way, wasn't Jesus off to a pretty good start? Sure He was. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. He said, Lady, I am Him. I am the Messiah. You're talking to Him. Have not I told you all things? Huh? Haven't I laid out your past for you? You see, friend, listen very carefully. Salvation is not in a religion. Salvation is not in a church membership role. Salvation is not in somebody's baptismal water, whether you're dunked in it or whether it's sprinkled on you. Salvation is not in some citizenship of some free country. Salvation is not passed down from dad to son to grandson to great-grandson through some covenant. Salvation is in a person, in particular one person. His name is Jesus Christ. He was the promised Messiah. He is the Savior. You know what she realized? She realized that the water Jesus was talking about was salvation for her soul. She realized that salvation, the water Jesus was talking about, was salvation from her sin. Not too small a house, not too small a bank account, not too little of this or too little of that. What she needed was salvation from her sin. And she realized that. She realized that Jesus was talking about water, salvation that would, from her endless search of soul satisfaction. And she needed that drink. She had been needing that drink. She didn't know that's what she needed. But Jesus had opened her eyes to it. He said, this is what you need is. Buddy, I'll tell you what she did. She took a drink of that water that day. Now, she had heaven as her eternal home and little heaven on earth to enjoy till she got there. Amen. I mean, joy flooded her heart. So how do you know that? Look at verse number 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She went running back to town. She said, I have found Him. I have found Him. I have found Him. I have found the answer to my soul's salvation. I have found Jesus. I have found the Messiah. Come, come. You got to meet Him. Come. Yes, she did. Now, you know what's significant to me about this? What's significant is verse number 28. She left her water pot. I mean, when she came, that was, wasn't that everything to her? Sure it was. She even told Jesus, you don't have one of these. How are you going to get anything? You don't have what I have. She had that water pot. Man, that water pot was everything to her. You know what that water pot was? That water pot was a picture of her vain search for soul satisfaction. Because that water pot, I wish I had an empty glass. I don't. I'm not going to throw it on the floor. But that water, she could fill it up. But in a few days, in fact, in 12 or 24 hours, it would be empty. She'd have to fill it up again. It would be empty again. She'd have to fill it up again. It would be empty again. She had to keep filling it up, keep filling it up, keep filling it up, keep filling it up. It was a picture of her endless search for water that could not satisfy. When she met Christ, when she trusted in Jesus as her Savior, she left it. A picture of the fact that my soul has been satisfied. Picture the fact that I'll never have to search again for a drink of water as far as what I need internally. She met Jesus. Her mind was no longer on physical water. Her mind was on the Savior who satisfied her empty soul. That water pot was a picture of her unquenched thirst. And she left it behind and said, come see a man that'll fill your water pot, and it'll never run dry again. Huh? I want to tell you something, friend. You say what you want, but at the old altar that night in Graysville, Tennessee, October 15th, 1975, I left my water pot at that altar. I left it there. I had been searching for years for a drink of water that would satisfy what I needed. I thought it was physical. I thought I needed this, that, bigger, better, more, this, that, jump around from thing to thing, thing to thing. But I didn't need anything external. I needed something inside my soul. And I got it that night when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Left the water pot at that well. I want to tell you something. I can tell you that what Jesus said is absolutely true. When you get truly born again into God's family, you'll never thirst again. Never thirst again. I mean, I'm not saying you won't see difficult times. I'm not saying you won't see hard times. Things won't get a little tough, but I'm saying there won't be that endless thirst for something to satisfy. There will be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I love that old song, "He's Still Waiting by the Well." You hear that? He's still waiting by the well. You say, over there in Samaria, but symbolically, he's still waiting by the well. And he's holding out his hand. If you drink this living water, you won't have to thirst again. He's been waiting by the well side, knowing you'd be passing by. Take advantage of the moment. He's not gone. He's still waiting. Or if you came to church this morning with something other than your spiritual need on your mind. Maybe you came for a little more religion. A little more of this. A little more. You know, if I could just get a little more religious. Get a little more Christian. Maybe I could get a bigger this and a bigger that. Friend, your need is not external. It's not religion. Your need is a drink from Jesus Christ, who is the source of living water. Have you had that drink? Have you had that drink? Can you go back to a time, a place, where you took a drink of living water from the Savior, the Son of God? If not, maybe you should take advantage of the moment. He's still waiting by the well. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. If you would, please give me your attention just for a moment here. And I want to ask you to do one thing before anything else. I just want to ask you to be honest. Could you do that for just a moment? Members, visitors, adults, young people, just be honest before God to yourself. Do you need a drink of water? I'm talking about salvation. Jesus is waiting by the well. You say, Brother Angel, I'm saved and I know it. I can go back to a time and a place where the Lord saved me by His wonderful grace. I remember when I took that drink of everlasting water.
My soul's been satisfied by the salvation that's in Christ. If that's your testimony, honestly before God, would you lift a hand this morning signifying that? Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. There's no doubt in my mind about it. Thank you. God bless you. Take your hands down. I wonder if there's one here this morning or more. You were honest just now. You didn't lift a hand. I appreciate your honesty. Friend, Jesus is still waiting by the well. I wonder if this morning something was said that drew your attention to your real need. Our real needs aren't physical. Our real need is spiritual. He's still waiting by the well. Brother Angel, Pastor Angel, I couldn't raise my hand just a moment ago, and I don't know if I died right now, if I'd go to heaven. I don't know if I've ever had that drink of living water. I don't know if I've ever had my spiritual need met. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand up, please? Put it right up in the air where I can see it. Take it right back down. God bless you. Is there another? I'm not sure I've had that drink you talked about this morning. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. I see your hand. Somebody else? I'm not sure I've had that drink of living water. Somebody else? God bless you. We'll wait. It's early. Somebody else? Think about it. Think about it for a minute. God bless you. Your need is not physical. Your need is spiritual. Would you let me pray for you just a moment here? Someone else. While we wait. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Now I'm going to ask that nobody look. I'd like to ask those of you that just lifted a hand right now, if you would look at me just for a moment, please, right where you're sitting. God bless you. And you. And you. And you. Most important thing you'll ever do in life is come to Jesus Christ and take that drink of everlasting life. I was sitting in church. I told you about it some years ago. The preacher gave me the opportunity to be saved, to take that drink of everlasting water. I want to give you that opportunity this morning. We have ladies, we have men. We take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Right now, with nobody looking, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Why don't you just slip out of the pew where you're sitting and come and let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Would you do that? Just come right now while we wait. God bless you. One of the ladies will meet you right here. That's right. Would you come, ma'am? God bless you. I have another lady here. Beth, if you would, please. Come right. Meet this lady. Would you come? If you're not sure that you're saved, would you come this morning? A couple other hands went up. I'm not going to force it. I'm not going to come to where you are this morning. I would ask you, if you've never been saved, if you're searching for that drink of water that satisfies, I'm talking about a spiritual need, would you come this morning while we wait just for a minute? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. I don't want to embarrass you. Too embarrassed to come while we wait here, when the music begins in just a few minutes and we're standing. Let me beg you to come this morning and trust Christ as your Savior. Find out how to take that drink of everlasting water. Anybody else? All right, let me ask this question this morning then. You've been saved but not baptized since you've been saved, and some came to follow the Lord in believers' baptism this morning. If you came to be baptized, now's the time to come. Slip out right now from where you're sitting and come. God bless you. That's wonderful. Anybody else? Or you say, I've never been baptized. I don't know what I need to do to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Anybody else like that this morning? Pastor, I've been saved but not baptized in deep water since I've been saved. Would you come? Anybody like that? All right, God bless you. Pray for me, Pastor. I don't know much about baptism. I'm too nervous to come, but I have not been baptized. Pray for me. Anybody like that this morning? Would you lift a hand to me? Ask the Lord's blessing on you. God bless you, son. I appreciate your honesty. Somebody else? Maybe you come and give your name to the bus captain or to Brother Caleb or to Brother Mike, and they can talk to your mom and dad about it, tell you about it. Somebody else? All right. If you're here this morning, you've been saved and baptized, visiting the church, you know this is the place God wants you to be a member, involved in serving Him. You've talked to us about it, and I want you to come, and if God's will is this morning for you to join, you could come do that today. Now, friend, let me ask you, if you're not sure that you're saved, if you've been going from fountain to fountain to fountain in search of satisfying water, please, why would you leave this morning with your search not satisfied? Why don't you come and trust Christ? In a moment, we'll all be standing in just a moment. In a moment, the ladies will be playing. You can slip out of the pew where you're sitting and come. Brother Caleb will direct you to somebody with a Bible. Why don't you make that all-important choice for Christ this morning? Dear Father, I love you. I thank you for the opportunity to preach the gospel once again. I thank you for this wonderful, marvelous story and this lady who found everlasting life, who found that water that in her became a well of life. Bless, I pray, these that have come this morning. Bless others that need to come. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The ladies are playing. That beautiful old hymn, "Like the Woman at the Well." Would you come this morning? Would you do that? Would you make your way forward? Let Brother Caleb take you to somebody and show you the Bible. How to be saved. Would you do that? Would you come to follow the Lord in believers' baptism? Or join the church as God directs you? Would you do that? As we wait, would you come? As we wait. Would you come? Join these others that have come this morning. Be introduced to the one who can provide that deep, satisfying drink of water. Never thirst again. Know for sure that heaven is your home. Jesus is your Savior. God is your Father. I invite you to come. Find your book, find page number 7. And let's sing that good old song as we get ready to close this morning. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. It's page 7. We're singing. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, O Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole.
If we had time this morning, we could give you a microphone, and we could go from section to section and pew to pew. And you could raise your hand and say, that's the honest truth. When I met the Lord, it was the end of my search. Things haven't always been easy. Tough times come. But brother, that deep, deep thirsting inside has been satisfied. Amen. Let's sing that last one. So my brother, here we go. So my brother, if the things this world gave you leave hungers that won't pass away, my blessed Lord will come and save you if you kneel to Him and humbly pray. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up. This thirsting of my soul, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Amen. Be seated, please, if you will, for just a moment.